only was that Pete Crow Armstrong's first home run, that was his first major league hit.
Oh, man, that is so cool, John.
It is. You should be happy for him. It's 3-1 Cubs in the seventh.
Baseball.
And we're able to watch it here because they have the MLB package here. I know this because I hear it all the time in the stream.
You think if we
that Oscars has the MLB package,
oh, nice.
And you can see all the games we're watching. This looks like we're watching the Nats right now. We just watched the White Sox lose their seventh in a row.
Yeah, like the Royals
won again, unfortunately.
Delay.
Think if I ask nicely, they'll put on the Rockies game for me so I can watch them lose.
Mm.
Are they on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
What's that game? Oh, no, that's the Cubs.
This ESPN2 right here. Yeah, I'm sure they would.
Well, that's
yeah,
all wrapped up.
Well, ask him to. There's the one right over there in the lower left corner.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, here she comes.
Yeah, you can ask them to put the Rockies game
on. I'm sure they'd love to put the bad Rockies on for you. You've had a rough go so far today, so, you know.
I could use more L's.
There
yeah,
you go.
Stay tuned because we will have alternate views of Nick's failed hot dog challenge coming up later in the Grum.
By the way, also, you can subscribe to 1620 The Email, and you know, we always are saying exclusive content.
Yes.
Check this stuff out. We will have videos inside of the email, and I'm going to promise that because I'm going to email it to our promotions people. So go sign up today at 1620thezone.com.
So we were talking earlier, Dan Wetzel wrote about the restored Heisman Trophy to Reggie Bush, the death of amateurism as we know it. The thing, Josh, and this is to me one of the core issues at stake when it comes to the future of college athletics, because the one major difference in how college, U.S. college amateurism has been and all other forms of amateurism is so many people are dependent on it for their existence. And this isn't just about, I know I tweeted out earlier the stats on Osborne's average salary and Matt Rule's average salary and how much it is skyrocketed in terms of its comparison to the average American worker's salary. Certainly, coaches and administrators and people in the periphery of college athletics have made a lot of money on the backs of these student athletes.
Correct.
But other student athletes have benefited from those football and especially men's basketball players, and that's the one major difference.
What do you mean?
It's the football program that gives life to all of the other Olympic sports.
I see what you mean, yeah.
There's not a volleyball team that plays collegiate volleyball in this country that probably doesn't owe its existence to either its football or its men's basketball programs, because those programs bring in most, if not all, of the money that it takes to run an athletic department. Same with softball, same with baseball, wrestling, the track athlete, all of them.
So where's this ultimately
and
going?
And so where this is ultimately going, and this is the core of the question, in my view, at some point when it comes to the future of college sports as I see it, it's not going to look anything like it does today or it has traditionally looked. I still firmly believe that the untethering is going to be a thing. Not because it should be or people want it to be, but almost because it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that universities are going to be able to get into the business of paying college athletes direct pay for play and be able to, in my opinion, stay in compliance with Title IX and also fund all of these other sports.
See, now I will disagree
that
with,
exist.
I'll disagree with the last half. I agree with the front half just because if you have to do dollar to dollar, then yeah, they're not going to be able to do that. The latter half, I'll disagree with you, mainly because the college football playoff money is only going up. Television revenues continue to climb, whereas like a decade ago, Nebraska was making what, a tenth, a 20% of what they're making from television right now. They're making more money every 5-6 years. So I definitely think that they would have the money to pay the athletes just because they have more money today than they did 10 years ago. So I disagree with you from that component.
Well, but
the Title IX component, though, I feel like that's inarguable.
But here's why I don't think it's even tenable that a lot of, you know, and I'm not saying that all sports would go away, but I do think there would be a lot of sports that take a hit because right now, I think to a lot of people, the concept of college pay for play is, well, you know, the football team, everyone on the football team will make $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody's going to say, wait a minute, why is everyone getting paid the same? Why isn't this like the NFL where, you know, if I negotiate a better deal, I get more money than my backup does, or I get more money than the left tackle, or I get more money than... There's always going to be this move. I don't think just saying, okay, we're just going to pay a flat fee to everybody is going to satisfy enough people, because someone somewhere down the line is going to take this case to court and say, hold on a second. That's the other part of it, too, is in order to make pay for play work, there's got to be unionization, right? There has to be, because, you know, someone, a lot of the genesis of these lawsuits is that there's no one advocating for the student athlete. The reason why we can have salary caps or luxury taxes in professional sports is because that is collectively bargained.
Yeah, they agreed to it.
That is collectively bargained between ownership and the players. Like, only collective bargaining can only take place when you have a collective of athletes, a.k.a. a union. So pay for play in college sports is only going to come with unionization. And that union is going to make sure that, is that union going to just represent college football players? Is that union going to represent only the money-making sports? Is that union going to represent all of college athletics?
I can't imagine it's the latter, and I would probably guess, I can't imagine it's the middle one either.
Right.
Probably has to be the first one where they would only represent each individual sport.
Because
what football players want and deserve,
yes,
let's be honest, is more than what a cross-country runner
deserves. Exactly.
Because they bring in the money.
Yes.
That's, like, period, end of story. Like, I am sympathetic to other sports saying, like, whoa, 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 like, we want to get something too. But I would also say, you don't bring in the money. I'm sorry. It's like inarguable to me. It's so
right.
easy to just say, but look at the television dollars.
And see, so that's why I believe, you know, that true capitalism, or I guess American sports capitalism, because it's kind of a capitalist socialist society, right?
Certainly.
Is coming at some point for major college athletics. And when that happens, there's going to be things that fall by the wayside. And unfortunately, some of those things will be those we'll call them the underrepresented sports, or the sports that, you know, that don't bring in their fair share. And so that's why I believe at some point, and I don't know how long this is going to take, but so when we talk about the death of collegiate amateurism, we're also going to be talking about the death of some college sports, or at least the way we take in college sports. I actually foresee a day where there is no or very little connection to the schools at all. Because I don't know if it can function that way because of Title IX.
Does it turn into club sports? I mean, many sports. It's not even that so many sports don't make money. It's that a lot of sports are big losses.
Yeah. And I don't bring this up to say, oh shucks, college amateurism is gone. I'm not advocating for that. I'm not advocating for a change to the old days. But I'm saying that there are other effects just beyond the, well, we finally shook the bonds of 1890s British, you know, elitism, and the yoke of that is gone. Well, yeah, it is, but there comes a price because of the way it was allowed to develop and be maintained in this country.
Well, but let's be honest, though. There's most of our audience is like, sorry.
I know they are.
Because, like, I'm not going to pretend that you and I come on the air and talk about, you know, a bunch of these sports, because we don't, you know.
No, you're right.
I'm sympathetic to the athletes, you know, and, like, that would be a huge bummer to lose out on that, what it looks like in the future. At least today's athletes don't have to worry about that. It's going to be a generation or two removed from us.
Exactly. Still to come, Robin Washington join us as we'll find out what Matt Rhule had to say today. Do we have a format yet for the spring game? Do we know if there's going to be any hitting? Do we know what the quarterbacks are going to do?
Mm.
And I've changed my tune. I've changed my mind.
You're excited about the spring game?
No.
Oh.
I'll make up some props for predictions.
Oh, I thought I didn't have to participate in anything.
Well, you don't have to.
No, I'll participate. I'll send in my answers.
Yeah.
We have a long layover tomorrow. Well, hopefully not that long, but we have a layover tomorrow. I can do it.
Well, I saw the hurt in your eyes. because yes. you wanted so badly to bet on spring game props.
Of course I did. I was an intern under Michael Sevier.
All right, so we'll do that. But so listen carefully to what Robin has to say.
Perfect.
You might get some good betting advice.
Perfect.
Coming up next on 1620 The Zone, live from Oscars at 173rd and West Center.